Lord, we honor you because there is none like you. There is no God that can compare with you. The God whose alone is the greatness and the majesty. We stand in awe of you. As we go into your word this afternoon, we come with reverence, with fear and trembling. We need you, Lord. Have mercy on us. Fresh mercy and unction as we look up to you from your throne. Upon me, upon my heart and upon my lips. The same anointing also upon the hearts and the ears of my brethren. So that your word will come forth, Lord, as a word of life. A word of encouragement. Lord, a word of inspiration. A word to cause us to arise and take our place. A word in power, in clarity, in sincerity, in humility, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. Let that word do an eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation, understanding, and light. Lord, our emotions further controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we have the strength and the capacity to do the things that we hear, and not be hearers only, bringing forth fruits unto the praise of your glory, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth, let yokes be broken, let blind eyes be opened. Wherever these word goes under the covenant of our fathers, let your power follow the word so that it will set the captives free and help us, Lord, to do the things that you want us to do so that we will arise as a mighty army to do all that is in your heart and bring to pass all that you have declared in your word in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for mercy to be faithful. Help me to be concise. Help me to be precise. Not speaking my own words, but speaking as an oracle of God, as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, sir, I yield my faculties, my members unto you. Use me for your glory. Let me be a vessel unto honor in this time, under the covering of my fathers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Want to give honor to my fathers, under whose covering we enjoy this beautiful presence of God that is so strong in this place. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your example. Thank you for your correction that has put us on the path of life. And thank you for your dedication to the Lord, laying down all of your life, holding nothing back, inspiring us to do the same. We love you and we appreciate you deeply. Thank you so much, sir. I pray that this word will bring you refreshing, and also my brethren, in Jesus' name. Well, the Holy Spirit is one, and it's amazing that God has gone ahead with that beautiful Bible study. God, really, the word that God has given me today is really not anything that we don't know already. It's really, God wants us to deal with unbelief, to break the limits in our belief. We limit God in our belief, and God wants to remove the limits. He's a stone, and God wants to remove it and give us a new stone, a light and revelation, so that we remove the limits. He wants to remove love that has dissimulation, hypocrisy. He wants to remove offense. Because sometimes we have these things and we don't know that we have them. And they are a hindrance nonetheless. May God help us in Jesus' name. I've entitled this word, Righteousness Has Its Payday. If you're wondering where I got it from mommy. Mommy always says righteousness has a payday. And if you're doing the right thing, sometimes you look alone. Sometimes you look as if you're in the minority. Sometimes you look as if you are an obsolete species of human beings, and that you must have dropped on another planet. But I want to assure you that you are in the right place, and God is going to repopulate the earth with people like you. Amen. And God is going to take back his earth and exercise that greatness and that majesty and that dominion that has always been his. But because he needs people to express himself through. And when they don't believe, then God is limited, like Pastor Dewey was saying this morning. But God is going to help us this morning. And we're going to remove that limit in Jesus' name. Now, we know we are living in perilous times. But I have you know that you shouldn't be discouraged. Because that same perilous time is a glorious time. Amen. And so we choose to see it from the glory perspective. As we walk with caution and in faith. And God is changing what is most profitable in this perilous time. Before it used to be gold. Now it's cryptocurrency. But brethren, I have news for you. God has a new currency. Hallelujah. That will serve you in this life and in the life to come. You know what it is? Righteousness. It has its payday. Call it righteousness, call it obedience, call it love. It's the same thing. Righteousness, it has it. This is the day. The Bible says in Proverbs 11 verse 4. Amplified Bible. Let's read it together. Proverbs 11 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Riches. Let's read it together. Riches provide no security in any day of wrath. If you have money, thank God for you. But if you don't have what the scripture says, it says it has no security to secure yourself in any day of wrath and judgment. We are living in a day of judgment. The part that the Lord Jesus did not read is the part that by the Holy Spirit we are in now. The day of the vengeance of our God. And be not deceived. That childish thinking that we have, that is going to come on some people, is not going to come on some people. No, it's going to come on everybody. It's going to come on everybody. You must understand. But God has made a provision. And if you tap into it, he will separate you. Just like Noah was separated in the ark, the eight of them that were saved. You will be among the eight. Is a type of a new species of people. Hallelujah. In the ark of God, you will be among that new species of people that think like God. Riches provide no security in any day of wrath and judgment. But righteousness. But what? I can't hear you. Righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God delivers from death. We are in a day when the last enemy is being dealt with. The last enemy is death. And God is raising up people that are having the faith to go against and overcome it. And you are among them in Jesus' name. So we need to break limits and understand. So this is what God is saying. Now, Pastor has taught us, in fact, he went over it this past few weeks, you know, about righteousness. Righteousness, as we know, is first a state of relationship with God called right standing in our hearts. And that state of right standing gives us access to the life of God. The life of God being the substance inside God that makes God, God. Okay? And it is that life that now enables us to think like God and speak like God and act like God. That is righteousness. Right standing, right doing. And the connection is the life of God. Look at Romans chapter 5, quickly, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So it's a grace that God gave, not something that you earned by something you did. It's something that God gave you because you believed. You believed on Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And every time you confess your sins and repent, you are back in that state of grace. And in that state of grace, you can receive life. And with that life, you can think right, talk right, act right, like we pray every day under the covering of our fathers. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That scripture did not stop me wherein we stand. He says, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The end of righteousness is to download the glory. It is not complete until the glory is there. That's why the real you has not appeared. The Bible says it does not appear what we shall be. But when he appears, we shall be like him. He's talking about the glory. So we must live our lives in such a way that we are positioned to carry the glory. That's what righteousness is about. Okay? So it's right standing and right doing. Right doing, 1 John 2:29. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:29. If you know that he is righteous, and we do, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So that means that God is the definition of righteousness. You cannot define righteousness outside God. You cannot look and say, oh, this man is a very righteous man. How do you know? Even Jesus, when they came to him, said, good master. He said, why callest thou me good? You can't judge righteousness on the outside. God has to show you. God has to open your eyes and your understanding to see, because it's coming from inside out. And like Pastor Dewey said, God is not judging only what you do on the outside. He's judging the heart of which you do it. So you can do something. The Bible says, if I give my body to be burned, and God didn't ask you to do that, it profits you nothing. And if you give a prophet a cup of water, another one asks you to do, it profits you everything. So it's important, if it is in relation to the will of God. Righteousness. You cannot define it outside of that. That is how righteousness has to be defined. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. So don't make the same mistake that the children of Israel made in the Old Testament. Romans chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Next verse. Is this what I want? No. I think you should give me Romans. Give me verse 10. 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. That's my mistake. Romans 10. Yes, that's what I want. For they, talking about children of Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. See, righteousness begins with submission to the word of God. Submission to those in authority. I know it's not a very nice word, but that is where righteousness begins. The same Peter that spoke and said, thou art the Son of God. The next minute Jesus said, this is what's going to happen to me. And he said, no, I don't submit to that. Jesus said, Satan. Called him Satan. So righteousness begins with submission. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. This is the end of the curriculum. You cannot have your own different curriculum. There's only one curriculum. And Christ is that end of the curriculum. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the gold standard. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. And God has shown us how to get there. He didn't just give us the standard. When they give you the curriculum, they break it down into topics. They tell you how to do it so you can break it down piece by piece, cover all the topics, and prepare students for the exam. God is coming to try us. And so we must know how to prepare. You cannot you cannot read social studies and then expect to pass an exam in chemistry. Is that possible? Or you want to read drama and you want to use it to pass the exam in math. It's not possible. So it's the same thing. We have to accept the curriculum. You can't pick and choose. And anytime you take anything out, then you are like that, removing our part. We'll not remove our part in Jesus' name. That's not our portion. Amen. So we see that this is what God is doing, okay? That we must submit to God's righteousness. Now, the life of God is the critical link. And that link is important because without the life of God, you cannot think like God. You cannot talk like God. You cannot act like God as you should. What will happen is that you will do some of those things some of the time, and then you will not be able to do them some other times, because you don't have life with God. So you are like the law of Moses. If you break one, you have broken all. So if you don't lust after your neighbor's wife, but you steal, you are guilty of all. That was the law of Moses. And it was meant to show them that you cannot do the law by ordinary acts of right doing on the outside. It's not enough. It must come from inside. It must originate from inside. That was what you want. So when you fall many times, then you come to where Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Now you are ready for the law of the Spirit of life to now give life to you. That life is critical. Look at what Jesus said. John chapter 5, 39 and 40. We're going over this because we need to understand. Because, you know, sometimes we know it in our head somewhere, but on a daily basis, are you working it out? How do you work it out? John chapter 5. "Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me," verse 40. "And you will not come to me that you might have life." Life is not in the scripture. Life is in a person. Faith in the scripture is now allows the person to minister life into your heart. Very important, okay? We see that that's a very important point that Lord Jesus made there. You know, and look at John 6, 53 to 58. It's very important that we go over these things so that our faith is sound. "And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Next verse. Thank you. "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So eternal life is a substance. It is what is inside God that makes God God. John 5:26. Just stay here. But at the same time, it produces an effect of being raised up at the last day. But it's a substance. Next verse. "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Next verse. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Next verse. "As the living Father," he's using living, the life, Zoe. "As the Zoeing Father has sent me, and I Zoe," or I Zoa, "by the Father, so he that eateth me, even so he shall Zoa by me." You cannot have righteousness without life. What you have is your sense of righteousness, your idea of righteousness. So this is not what happens to us, myself included. God have mercy on us. How frequently you stay connected to God is how righteous you are. How frequently we stay connected to God is really how righteous you are. Not, "I didn't do anything, no." How do you know what you thought? Thought of foolishness is sin. "He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin." Whatever thought of faith, it is sin. You did something, you know, and, you know, God didn't tell you to do it, but you did it because, you know, make the person happy. We do many things. Let's break it down. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Please help me. Elijah calls 450 prophets of Baal to a contest. They call on their God. Their God does not come. He calls on his God, distributes the sacrifice, and fire comes down from heaven. Then that same Elijah now took a sword and killed four. Have you killed a chicken before? Have you killed a chicken before? I have. Maybe you have not. Try killing 10. It's work. 450 prophets. He killed them. The will of God. But the same Elijah in 1 Kings 19 is running away. He's afraid. He does that great work on the outside, but there's fear on the inside. And God asks him, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah says, I have done great and mighty things for you. In fact, I did those prophets of Baal. Good. But at the same time, I'm the only one. So God is unfair. The man that hid his talent in the earth, for I knew that as a hard man. And you reap where you do not sow. The man with the one talent. Is that not what he said? That you reap where you do not sow. Anytime you have the idea that people don't care about you, you know, people, you are the only one that is doing something. Eh? Brother, you are offended, though. You are offended, though. And in that state, anything God puts you out will not multiply. Mommy said it should multiply. Said we should be fruitful. Multiply. But in your hand, it will not multiply. That guy, his one talent was the only thing he had. They gave them that one talent long time ago. When the king went. Understand the story. They gave them one talent. Bible says the king went away and gave his talent, all his servants, 10 servants, ten talents. That means everybody had one. And said, occupy till I come. Then he came back again in Matthew 25. And then by that time, some people already had 5 talents. Some people already had 2 talents. Some people already had 10 talents. This guy had his only one. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But what was it? It was that attitude. And they are using me. Mm-hmm. And they don't care about me. No. No, those thoughts, those attitudes, those things, they rob us. We're being treated unfairly, or they correct us. And you don't. How many times do you, when they correct you, do you actually see it? Hardly do you see it when you're corrected. You have to take it by faith. I mean, there's some things that you see that are wrong, but there's something in your mind. Hey, that's not what I meant. That's not what I wanted to say. It just didn't come out right. That's not what I meant to do. Hello? You're very quiet today. But we're talking about ourselves. We give a kind of excuse, and it's not really an excuse. It says that it's what you are seeing at that time, but you have to put down what you are seeing, otherwise you will not see correctly. Jeremiah said, I'm but a child. God said, don't say that. I have called you a prophet to the nations. And then Jeremiah accepted it. Then God asked him again, what do you see? And then he said, I see the rod of a mammon tree. Change in vision. Because of the acceptance of rebuke and correction. So we are saying that this is something, righteousness is something that God, you have to accept God's standard. And that life of God is vital for righteousness. So we can walk in the righteousness of God and think and talk and act like God. And it's the will of God. Okay? So we see that part that is of faith, and that's part that is action on deeds and thoughts and words. Okay? And the part that is of faith is the first part. It must come of necessity before the other part. Because so that it is now God at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We see that from the story of the publican and the Pharisee. And the publican did all the right things. Nothing wrong with the things he did. But to say that he is not like other men. Just because the Bible says by the deeds of the law. Just because you did the right thing doesn't mean that you are perfect. So you must always be looking inside. And give God the glory for whatever is going on outside. Because the inside will always control the outside. That's why Elijah did that on the outside. And on the inside, there was fear. Because he didn't look on the inside. God asked him twice. And when he didn't get the answer, God said, okay, anoint Elisha in your stead. Anoint Elisha. Because it's not going to be fruitful in your hand again. So we need to be careful and always understand that it's a privilege to serve God. And if they remove you, the thing will work perfectly. In fact, better than when you are there. So it's important to stay small in our own eyes. Amen? And let God help us. So we see, so that's what God is saying to us today. That we must stay connected to God and not go around with our own sense of righteousness. Imagine Solomon, with everything he had, was disconnected from God. All God gave him. He had it, but he didn't have it. He was saying it, but he didn't experience it. And the Bible says, the greater than Solomon is here. So there is no room for independence. There is no room for I will do my own thing. There is no room for let me stay on my own. You have to constantly confess your sins, constantly stay connected to God, constantly allow life to flow, constantly pray in the Spirit. You must constantly do it. And anytime you are low, the Holy Spirit himself will tell you that you need to do it now. Amen. And when he tells you, do it. Because that's the way to stay. Otherwise, you're going off in your own righteousness. Nothing has happened yet. But you're going off. And we don't want to go off. Amen? All right. So we see that. All right. So we see two parts here. We see the action and the heart. Look at Proverbs 21:21. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth what? Life. Right doing and honor. So you follow right standing. Keep confessing your sins. Keep forsaking your sin. When somebody corrects you, forsake. They can't force you to do these things. They can tell you, but what else goes on is by personal choice. You have to forsake the sin so that work can be done inside. It's the inside work that's going to have fantastic results on the outside. It's not going to the covenant we have with God. I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I think it's just the Holy Spirit. No, Proverbs is what say, right standing and mercy will find life. That life will produce right doing and it will bring honor. That is the step. You can't change it. It's a scripture that cannot be broken. Why? Because the covenant we have is a new covenant. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. We're going to the why now. Why righteousness has its payday. This is a day of glory. It's a day of honor. By following after righteousness and mercy. What does mercy do? Mercy keeps your heart. It keeps your heart. You need the mercy to keep your heart. Because that mercy, it will keep your heart from failing. It will keep your heart from helping to be faithful. It will keep you from unbelief. It will keep, until you can pray. While you are doing what you are doing, it's the mercy of God that is helping you. But you know, there's a tendency that this is what I'm doing it. Yes, you're doing it. But it's the mercy of God helping you to do it. And if that mercy was removed, you wouldn't be able to do it as well as you're supposed to. So it's important to understand that you must exercise faith in mercy deliberately. You know, because the mercy of God now activates the grace of God, and the grace of God brings that blood of Jesus into operation. Life begins to flow on the inside, and then you're able to stay in right. So it's something Pastor has taught us. I'm not saying anything new, but we're talking about how does it work for you on a daily basis. This is the issue. What we're talking about today, okay? Look at the covenant we're talking about. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. Let's read it quickly from 7 to 10. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. So we cannot have the second, and we're making mistakes under the first. Hello? Hello, brethren? We cannot be living under the second covenant and be living as if we're living under the first covenant. The first covenant was a covenant of action. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And then he told them in spiritual law that the word is nigh thee, in your mouth, in your heart, and you may do it. But most people missed that. Most people followed the thou shalt not, okay? All right? But here now, God is changing it. Let's read next verse. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Next verse. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws where? Into their mind. And I will write them where? In their hearts. And I will be to them a God. And they shall be to me a people. Next verse. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. Next verse. For I will be what? Merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hallelujah. Give God a clap of hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This is our covenant. This is our covenant. So you can lift up your head and look at sin and say, I want to stop sinning. I want to stop sinning. I don't want to continue sinning. This area, I want to have dominion over you. That's the will of God. I want to stop this. I want to stop thinking this. Yes, you can. Don't believe that lie. Yes, you can. If you believe it, you will do it. The Bible says, if you walk, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I don't care what your experience tells you. The scripture cannot be broken. If you walk in the Spirit, you will kill it. It will die. It will die. So the key is, I'm not walking in the Spirit the way I ought to walk in the Spirit. Simple. That's how to make progress. If we're going back and forth, then there's something wrong about how I'm doing what I'm doing. And I must fine-tune it. That's what God is saying. Okay? So, why? Because there's a new covenant. This is a covenant. That covenant works by transformation. It's a covenant of transformation from inside out. It supersedes the covenant of action. Anytime you one swallows up the other, the covenant of transformation will transform you and produce good action. But the covenant of action will give you a form, but under pressure, it will show up. And you will not be able to perform under pressure. Example, Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Is there anything good thing that you can do? There's nothing you can do to get eternal life. You can only believe. See, he's operating on the covenant of action. Doing. Brethren, we need to change that mindset. You can be doing the right thing and your heart is not right. And that heart has polluted what you are doing. It has contaminated what you are doing. So to you, you are doing something right. But as far as God is concerned, it's zero. How can we and God be on the same side and yet be different? There's something wrong. We need to close the gap. And stop looking on the outside. The Bible says, eyes of a fool and the ends of the earth. Look inward. Check the motive. Check the heart. And then do the action. If the motive is all right, don't do it. So you can be sure that you are doing it by faith. That's what he did. say, what good thing shall I do? So Jesus answered him. Next verse. And why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. They already told us what to do. What's the commandment? Which thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery. This is the commandment. But there was a spiritual technology that they were given. It's assumed that in trying to do this, you have that technology in the back of your mind. But if you don't have that technology, so listen to what goes on. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Next verse. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know what I'm saying to him? All these things have I kept from my youth up. So he's saying, I'm doing it. Yet, I have a sense that I don't have life. I know that something is wrong somewhere. And it's God that is unfaithful. That's the implication. Is that I'm doing all I know to do, and the answer has not come, so God must be the one who is holding out on me. It's not said, it's implied. And many times, that's how I've been praying, I've waited and waited, I've given and given. And watch it. That's that one talent guy attitude. Interchange it. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. That's what it says. Next verse. Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect. Okay, you want life. You want to be perfect. This is how to do it. Go and sell that which you have. Give it to the poor. I shall have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. This is the test of whether you are doing it by faith and it's transforming you on the inside, or whether you're doing acts on the outside. He couldn't do it. So he was working with a different curriculum. He had removed all the hard topics out of it. Yeah, it's like having a math curriculum. You remove differentiation. You remove linear geometry. All the harder topics, you now leave fraction, ratio, addition and subtraction. You remove decimal because that one can confuse human being. Remove that one. Remove decimal. Where is the point? Where is the zero? Don't disturb me. Remove it. Then you have your own curriculum and you say, I've done it. And they score you. Bible says the man went away sorrowful. We must not be like him. That's why the Bible puts it there. So because we have to be able, nothing must have control over your heart. It was his possessions. They had control over his heart. So that's where he's at, in the heart. Your heart must be free. Your primary, your joy, my meat is to do the will of him and to finish his work. That should be our meat. That's what God is saying. Amen. So we see that there is no place for independence. There's no place for omissions. There's no place for offense, really. The feeling unappreciated, uncared for, not looked after, you know. And I'm feeling like someone is using you. And nobody is using anybody. The devil is just planting a lie. He's the father of lies. And he drops those in your heart. If you're doing something on the outside and there's this thought going on the inside, stop what you're doing and change it on the inside. So you can get a reward for all the things that you are doing. Otherwise, it's going to take away from the reward. It will not take away from my reward in Jesus' name. But you must understand how God is thinking. This is what God is saying. Okay? No, Bible says that let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The life of God, the word of God, must penetrate deep into our hearts and change our inner nature so that acts of we are transformed on the inside and the acts come on the outside. Okay, look at verse 21 of that Matthew 19:21. Okay, well, we've done that. Fine. Okay, so we see the first point we said is a different covenant. That's the point. The next one is righteousness delivers from death, sickness, and attack, so we can live long to fulfill our destiny. We're going to live long to fulfill our destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the will of God. All right. But you must understand that you must do righteousness at this level. You know, like Pastor said, the devil comes to, God comes to check us, comes to check. You know, you bring forth fruit, you know, little fruit. And God wants us to bring forth much fruit. And God keeps moving us. He tries to move us to go to a higher level. And we keep saying, no, it's too hard. Let me stay here. It's a dangerous thing. Because that Bible says that so these kind of people, after a while, God will just take them away from the evil that is to come. Because they are not going to be able to stand what is coming. So we have to be strong and do exploits in the midst of the gross darkness. And that means we must embrace all that God is giving and understand that God is faithful and will not allow us to be tempted over what we are able to do. So, deliverance from death. Proverbs 18 verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. It's not the wicked that disobeys instruction. It is the righteous. Righteous both by heart and by deeds. The transformed righteous. That's what he's talking about. Okay? So, also we see in Psalm 91 in verse 16, it says, with long life will I satisfy him and then show him the fullness of my salvation. So the first thing God does really is to ensure that he brings anyone who is set on the path of destiny under covering. And under covering of set spiritual fathers who have gone on the road ahead of you. You know, and they provide covering that you enjoy as you grow. The Bible says from the least to the greatest. So there are some that are greater than others. And the greater ones that are greater than others are providing covering. And that's why you need to submit to them. So while we are not led by prophets, it's important to understand that there is the ark of the testament on the shoulders of the priests. And those, the Bible says that if you don't give enough distance, which is heart attitude of reverence, between you and them, you will not know the way that you should go. So when they are talking to you and you think that that's an opinion, you are right, that's an opinion. But you need to check with God, because God is the reference for righteousness. It's not your prophet. It's not what you want to gain. It is what God said that is the reference point. So you lay aside your plan and let God tell you which is which. Very important. Because that's how you enjoy covering. When they say, don't do this, don't do it. You may not do it. You may do it and nothing happens. You're treading dangerous ground. It's the same thing John the Baptist did. Nothing happened. But that's what was going to happen. It was too late. Now not be our portion in Jesus' name. That's why you must understand that while it's perilous times, it's a great time. If you allow God to change from his, so they will say, I should not travel now. Oh, they will say, I cannot marry the girl. They will say, I can't marry the boy. And they're not going to live with you. Are they saying it for their own good or for your own good? Inasmuch as they are set in authority over you, honor them. It is God you are honoring. And as you honor them and you take it to God, give it time, pray. Little by little, God begins to drop centimeter upon centimeter of truth. And what you didn't see before,
Just Jesus. Hey.
God bless you.
Pastor, thank you, sir. You are seeing it now after 6 weeks. You are seeing it. Thank God for it. Some people never see it. At least you are seeing it after 6 weeks. But the key is that you must learn not to do your will in this day and time. That's what we're saying. It's the will of God that must be done. Okay? All right. And now, the other thing is that with righteousness, no, righteousness is an investment. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Give it to me in the Amplified. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. It's an investment. You know, when you invest in a company and you buy shares, when the company is doing well, they give you two things. They give you bonus shares and they give you dividend. Dividend is cash. Bonus shares means that they give you more shares. So let's say you started with 100 shares. Okay, that's what you bought. The company does well. They give you another 20 based on the 100 that you bought. Okay? And then they give you money on top. That's men. That is men. How does God do it? Look at it. Sow for yourselves according to righteousness. The two types. Uprightness and right standing with God. They are not the same. Uprightness is right doing under pressure. Right standing is a state of being right with God. Now, you maintain right standing by quickly confessing your sins and forsaking them. So mercy comes that triumphs over the judgment that should have come against you for that sin. Now, you in right doing, you receive life of God to pray, to do the right thing. Now, that way you get mercy to be faithful. Either way, mercy is acting on your heart, making your heart softer and more tender. So you start with a heart of stone and you end up with a heart of flesh. That's apart from whatever you gain on the outside. We're talking about internal things now. Look at it. Reap according to mercy and loving kindness. Break up your uncultivated ground. That ground that is uncultivated becomes cultivated. It will be softened. Then the seed will begin to drop on it. So anytime you read your Bible, you begin to see things you never saw before. Why? Because the state of the ground has changed. Amen? For it is time to seek the Lord and inquire for and of Him. And to require His favor till He comes and teaches you what? Righteousness and rains His righteous gift of sozo, total salvation. Spirit, soul, and body upon you. Amen. So righteousness is an investment. You increase in your spiritual capacity. You increase in your spiritual sensitivity. You increase in your spiritual vision. You increase. It pays you. Bible says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? To show you that there is no comparison. Because when you get what God wants you to get, nothing can compare. So we see that it's an investment. As you sow, you are sowing to yourself. Amen. When you sow to the Spirit, you reap eternal life. So you reap eternal life in your heart. All right. So we see that. Number four, prosperity. Righteousness brings durable riches. Durable prosperity, not the one that has wings. You know, there's a prosperity that has wings and flies away. So it's going. You have to make an attempt to hold it back. There's another one that keeps coming, and you are wondering, what am I going to do with this one again? Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Amen. This is your portion in Jesus' name. Let's read from verse 20. Proverbs 8:20. Okay, I, wisdom, lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment. Next verse. That I may cause those that love me to what? Inherit substance. And I will fill their treasures. Next verse. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way. Okay? Before His works of old. Next verse. No, it must be before. Okay. Before he talks about what verse is that? Yes, thank you. He says, my fruit is better than what? Gold. And yea, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. Yes, this is where we should have begun. All right. And then he ends up giving us durable riches. No, that in righteousness. Okay. And the Bible says, strong men retain riches. So though when you are strong in righteousness, the riches stay. You're not the one, they follow us. We're not the one following it. That says it. All right. It follows us. He's talking about that's righteousness. All right. And then, of course, righteousness by the mercy of God makes us a tree of righteousness that will provide covering for others under the sphere of our influence. Having been under the influence of others, Bible says, Acts 16:31, this is for us and our household. Yes, okay, this verse 18. All right, I got it wrong. So it's 18. Riches and honor are with me, durable riches and righteousness. Yeah, thank you very much. All right, so it's actually 18 to 21. All right, so let's move to the next one. The maintaining our righteousness as we stay connected to God. This God is trying to help us to see why it's important to stay connected. It's about to stay really righteous, all day long. Because as you stay all day long, you begin to become, by exercise, you begin to become a tree of righteousness. Look at Luke chapter 13. Verse 19. And we see, yes, the kingdom of God, like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden. His garden is the heart, the seed there is the seed of the word of God. And it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Okay? So the fowls of the air there is figurative of your children, your family, asking that one, we are in a household, and as you grow spiritually, it extends to other people in your office, it extends, as you grow, the capacity grows. So, like Pastor preached a long time ago, you have a sphere of influence, I have a sphere of influence, the person next to you has a sphere of influence, so there's an overlap. So you find that we can cover our whole community, we can cover. So that's how you create an open heavens over that place, and everybody is covered, and Satan can only. So we simulate the conditions of the age to come. We simulate the powers of the age to come. We simulate those conditions by reason of walking in righteousness. That is the will of God for us. Okay, but this righteousness was one that penetrates. It penetrates into your soul, penetrates into your heart. God doesn't want us to, be afraid of doing the right thing. For example, it's not easy to do the right thing. I mean, you can talk about Elijah, but it happens to all of us. Hello? You do something right, and you tell them, please don't say it's me that told you. Hello? Because if they know it's you that told them, they are going to give you heat. So, isn't it true? But we shouldn't stay like that. We shouldn't stay like that. We should get to a point, because that's you have to now use the word. You have to recognize, first of all, that is wrong. That's not righteous. How can you be righteous in a corner? Or righteous, put the lamp under a bushel. That says, put the lamp on a candlestick. And then it gives light to the whole house. That's what the Bible says. So putting yourself under a bushel and saying, thank God my light has not gone up. That's not the perfect thing that God has said in the scripture. So we want to simulate the scripture conditions. The word must become flesh. During praise and worship, my sister at the ministry was saying, was honoring the Lord and worship, and saying, the word that became flesh. He worked it into himself, scripture by scripture. And you and I can do the same. because he ever liveth to make intercession, to make it possible for us to do that. Hallelujah. Amen. So we shouldn't be concerned. So how do we do it? Well, really, let's put it this way. Let's summarize it. We labor. We labor in life. We labor in prayer. We labor in the word. And we labor in love. Now, love, that righteousness, love, obedience, whatever you want to call it at the end, that's the goal. But that labor must be consistent. And we must labor consistently all through. So we have instructions that we have been given. So the first thing is this, that do away with your own righteousness, your own standard. Take it and nail it and put it aside. And let's start looking at what the Bible says. Amen. Accept the scripture. Everything the scripture says is your portion. Everything, I'll say it again, everything the scripture has said that is positive, that is in line with the Lord Jesus Christ's example and the pattern disciple Apostle Paul, is your portion. So if the Bible says that as he is, so are we in this world, it's possible. So you set that and you start that. Now, it's important to understand this because, you know, anytime God wants to do something, looking in the Bible, you know, God did some things that were never done before. There are some things that, you know, when Moses told Korah and Co, he said, if God leaves this thing normally, if he does not do something special, like the ground opening up, then you will see that whether you have not transgressed against the Lord. And God said, you know what? Because of Moses' growth, because Moses had worked God into his heart, God did exactly what Moses said. That thing you said. He said, and made the ground open up. They had never seen it before. They had thought that 250 of them, what will he do? What will he do? Will he cast them out like Miriam? What will he do? Will he give them leprosy? What is he going to do? You know, you can be thinking in your mind. Thinking in your mind. But God will do something new. When the Lord Jesus was going to be born and the virgin was going to conceive, it was something new. God used Simeon and Anna and the work that they did for, we know of Anna, that was for 60 years. You can imagine going to the temple, fasting and praying. Imagine the work done on the inside. And it came to pass. Yeah, no, this is not Jesus who. It has nothing to do with Jesus. It's people like you and I, living under an old covenant. Now, this time, then Jesus was going to raise up Lazarus. Again, something new. They have not seen the type of it before. And they were thinking to themselves, they called Jesus. And that's how we do sometimes, brethren. In fact, you know, God has spoken to me about Nigeria. Look at John chapter 11. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 11. Give me verse 23. They called Jesus when he was sick. It's like us praying for Nigeria. Lord, please save Nigeria. Save Nigeria, save Nigeria. Save us. And no, we see one or two things. God is on the move. God's on the move. We sent to Jesus. He said, he's coming. He's coming. And while he's coming, instead of getting better, it got worse. And instead of getting worse, then he died. They promised us change. See where we are. Do you understand? Okay, let's read on. All right. Verse 24. Martha said unto him, 23. Go back to 23. Yes. So Jesus said unto her, my brother, because so God is saying to you now, Nigeria is going to rise again. Yes, so Psalm 144, verse 12, right on to the end, is going to be Nigeria's portion. No complaining in our streets. Ah, pastor, is what the scripture said. Our oxen strong to labor. That's our industries. But the unbroken power. Unbroken internet. Food prices come down. Quality education in Nigerian universities. Leading research on Nigerian soil. Nigeria will rise again. And then look at the response. Verse 24. Thank you. Verse 24. John 11, 24. You are staying too long here. That's the end result. Let's know the way to get there. I know that it shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Hey, God. Oh, no. Ashesha. But these hearts, man. These politicians. There's corruption everywhere. It's not safe. God said Nigeria will rise again. Next verse. Verse 25. Jesus said unto us. Let's read together. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Next verse. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall what? Never die. Believest thou this? God's asking you and I, how far will you go in your believing? This is unreasonable believing. This is impossible believing. But that's the God kind of believing. That's the God kind of believing. Believest thou this? What's your answer? Yes! Next verse. And she said unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, Son of the God, which should come into the world. Her faith couldn't take it. See mercy. Her faith didn't take it too. It was God's mercy. Tell neighbor, mercy will deliver Nigeria. We will see our faith. But permission is the apples to your faith. We're not dependent on our own faith, but dependent on his faith and his mercy. Amen. Right. So we can save time. Let's jump to verse 39. Verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. It's beginning to move. Change your mentality. Change, 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 change. We need to be aggressive. Who's on the Lord's side? Now we have to pray some serious prayers. Yes. Yes, they have become leprous. And they are exposed. Yes, those prayers have to be done. That stone, that you're thinking of love, that your mindset of love, you must change it and have a new stone, a new revelation, a new understanding of the purpose of God and how vital it is that some people be kept out of the way. Martha went to go. The same Martha that called him. The same matter that said you didn't come on time. The same matter that said, Lord, by this time, he's beyond salvage. That's what she said. He's beyond salvage. Next verse. Jesus said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Next verse. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone. We will take away the stone. Amen. From the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you because thou hearest me. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we'll jump to 43 and 44. 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Nigeria, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Just said unto him, loose him and let him go. Through your intercession, the work done on the inside and the power released on the outside, God is going to say two things. Nigeria, come forth. So Nigeria is alive. You think it's taking time? Nigeria was dead before. Now she's alive. And now we're coming to phase two. Loose him and let him go. The people that said that they will not let him go. It is they that will go. It is they that will go. Why? Because we have come to a place where righteousness has a payday. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Turn. That's internal. Then I will what? Hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Nobody can stop Nigeria's resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Nigeria is living again. That's the will of God. Now, how do we get it? We have to make it happen. We must make it happen. So how do we make it happen? First, we confess our sins. And we do so frequently and in faith. Don't confess your sins mechanically. Confess it in faith. Insist. If they're leading you in prayer, and you say, covetousness, say it in your heart. It's irreverence. Say, if another one occurs to you that they didn't say, quickly say it. Put your faith in it. So you can get a total cleansing. And that life can flow without obstruction. So when you pray, the volume of the rivers of water working inside and outside will hasten the manifestation of what God wants to do. So we confess our sins frequently and in faith. We forsake our sin. You know, simple way we have been taught. We prayed it today when Pastor William was leading us. Lord, have mercy on us to receive your blood, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life and power in sufficient measure as we pray. But it's not enough to just say it. You must say it. Pastor said it this way. Say it with your mouth and say it with your thoughts. You say it two ways. Say it internally with your thoughts and say it with your mouth. So that way, you are in faith. You are speaking in your heart. You are speaking with your mouth. So therefore, you will do it. So therefore, when you pray, the power coming behind will accomplish the will of God. Because there is faith. Bible says, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? In Nigeria, he will find. That's the will of God for us. Amen? All right? Background of daily prayer. Good morning, Jesus prayer. You pray that daily. Because that work is going on. It's a continuous work. And each day we are praying, brethren, we are occupying territory. You go into prayer. Because, see, brethren, this war is a war. There's air support. Right? And in good morning, just that's what they are doing. They are serious bombers. They are bam, bam, bam. They are bombing the areas of Satan's stronghold. Inside, outside, and inside. How God wants to see today is two ways. He's walking outside and inside. And if you look to the inside, you give him opportunity to do miracles on the outside. That's what he wants us to see and understand. Okay? So we do that. Then we fear God. Honest and humble attitude to daily Bible reading. When you are reading your Bible should be reading you. Your Bible should be reading you. It should be reading you. It should be reading, telling you, that's you. You know that thing you did last week? That's that thing there. And as he's reading you, repent, forsake, have mercy. So the process is effective. By the time you get up, how many times have you experienced it? The time you get up reading your Bible and you are so refreshed. And the time you read the Bible, it's like, Mercy. Mercy. But now we know, isn't it? We are looking on the inside. So when it's getting hard, confess your sin. In Jesus' name, I have life. Lord, have mercy on me in this regard. Bind the devil. Okay? In Jesus' name, Lord, I study to show myself approved. Say it to yourself. Pray in the spirit. Go back to reading the Bible. It's 2 minutes. It will change. That, just accepting those things and just going on is what God doesn't want. Stop accepting it. It's not normal. It's from inside out. The inside, you must enjoy what you're doing. It must be done in faith. Amen. Of course, if it's not, you still keep doing it. But, the thing is that you can have fellowship. Pastor said that way. Fellowship is the cream of life. I'm quoting Pastor. Fellowship is the cream of life. So God wants to have fellowship with us in that place of the word, in that place of prayer. Amen. All right. So that fellowship is there. And then, of course, apostolic and prophetic messages, we go over them. At least, we at least once a week, we listen to those messages. We go over them. Look at Proverbs 4:20. Let me just summarize it this way. Proverbs 4:20. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Proverbs 4:20. Give it to me from verse 20. My son, what? Attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. That's Bible. That's attend to my words is Bible reading. Incline thine ear to my sayings is listening to apostolic and prophetic messages. Okay, you incline your ear to the sayings of the fathers to you. Next verse. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Life of God. You draw life. That labor in life. Father, I confess in Jesus' name, the Father, strengthen me with mine. You draw life. Amen. Keep them in the midst of your heart. As you that word, when you generate power in prayer, praying in tongues, power in travail, the life of God in that volume allows the word to rest in your heart. Next verse. Okay. For they are life to those that find them and health to their flesh. That life flows out. And it's not, that's why it's not just external, it's internal. Life to your own flesh. Next verse. Amen. It says, keep your heart like this with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. So if you bring that kind of heart and join in prayer, you have that kind of heart. I have that kind of heart. We connect our hearts. There's an amplification of the power of God. A pool of sound hearts. Not that we are generating power. And the power is going to heal some people's unforgiveness. It's going to heal some people's offense. We'll do that. But how would it be if you are clean? I'm clean. Everybody's clean. So there's so much more power for work on the outside. That's what God is saying. Amen. Next verse. When you do it like this, you will put away from you a froward mouth. Perverse lips you will put far from you. Why? The life and the word are flowing. Next verse. Let thine eyes look right on. You will see right on. And your eyelids look straight before thee. Next verse. Ponder the path of thy feet. You acknowledge God in all of your ways. And let all your ways be established. Next verse. Turn not to the right and not to the left. Remove thy fruit from evil. That's right doing. That's righteousness. That's in summary. Nothing is new of all the instructions. But it's doing it with faith. It's doing it in understanding. It's making sure that you identify negative thoughts. You bind the spirit behind them. You cast them out. We're talking about air. That's prayer. Good morning, Jesus. Then artillery is confession. You make confession from the word of God. In the morning, when mommy is declaring, we're throwing artillery. Bam, bam. Hitting it over and over, over and over. It may not, something may not apply to you. The one that applies to you, hit it. Oh, amen. Then if you do your own prayer on your own, you hit it again. Do you understand? It's a continuous process. Then you come to the place of walking the spirit where it's hand-to-hand combat. as walking in the spirit, when you watch the thoughts, and you cannot have victory until you get into hand-to-hand combat. Go into the house, that place where it has locked itself up. You say, come out. Come out. This is your day of reckoning. Come out. Yes, so you this offense, come out. I now bind you this spirit. In Jesus' name, I have life. Nothing shall offend me. Great peace I have because I love your law. You will send him out. And you will occupy. The next time he comes, he will knock on your door. He can't come in again because you checked him out. When he knocks on your door, you have a choice to keep him out or keep be quiet. So that way the Bible puts it this way. In the book of Luke, it says this, the Holy Spirit help me. It says, remove all things that offend and them that do iniquity, that the righteous will shine in the kingdom of their Father. That's the level of righteousness that will bring shining. The internal righteousness that has penetrated deep into the soul will produce shining in glory. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. We give God the glory. Let's give God all the glory. Let's focus on God. Let's talk to God in our hearts. Focus on Him. Nigeria needs you. Your children need you. Your wife needs you. Your husband needs you. The fathers need us. We need our fathers. God wants to prosper you, protect you. But you must follow His game plan. Righteousness. The God level of righteousness. Let's repent and ask for mercy. It's not to condemn anyone. We are all not there yet. So don't put yourself on the Bible. It says, from the least to the greatest. Just understand, it's a covenant of transformation, not mere action. So don't be satisfied with attending prayer meeting. Thank God for that. But we must go beyond that. When we're not in prayer, how are we thinking? How are we behaving? And that's where it's at. That's why we need mercy. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you and known as your, to possess by faith, to possess by faith what I could not.
All surpassing gift
of righteousness,
suffering,
to become like
your death, my Lord, and so with you to
and never die.
Let's put our right hand, raise up our right hand to God. Put your left hand on your heart. Let's pray to God. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And has come to me today showing me that you are the God of the resurrection and the life. He that was dead, that believeth, shall live. And he that liveth and believeth shall never die. Thank you, Lord, for this blanket promise that you have given to have dominion over unbelief and death. So, Heavenly Father, I choose to believe. By your life, I receive life to walk in right doing. I receive mercy to be faithful, to maintain right standing, to do so diligently. Lord, to keep my heart with all diligence, to labor in the word, in Bible reading, in Bible study, to labor in prayer, in praying in tongues, praying with travail, to labor in life, to keep my heart pure, to forgive, to stay away from sin, to forsake sin, and to labor in love, the breadth, the depth, the height of love of Christ that passes knowledge, so that I can be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, have mercy on me. Help me to be diligent, Lord, in keeping your law of life and love. Grant me mercy to be faithful, so that I will stand faithful by your mercy in all circumstances and all situations. So out of my heart, life in abundant measure will flow. And that life will transform both my life and my environment. Bring in glory into my life, glory into my home, glory into our nation, changing Nigeria, giving her a new name that you have named. Have mercy and help us to be faithful in this season, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rasa kutengen, gange de bebe di koko de babasan, rebe bebe bebe di keke de babasom, rapa pa pa kante kese, lefre keko labayi, lafre kean, rapa kosetom, jenge de bebe da, neo pa pa pa, rapa kako de bebe di dumana, meko pa 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 le, rapa koko de bebe di koko de bebe, ato ba yea, yema man, rapa deba, rapa bale, rapa bale kata, meka labayi, Nego, Robo Bobo Bobola, Reba Baba 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 Bele, Mekele Bebelia, Robo Bangele Bebele, Jekalade, Rumbele Kodamas. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of God has gone forth, and the power of God under the covenant of our fathers is present to heal, is present to deliver, it is present to provide. Just say, Lord, I receive. And see that flow in your heart, into your life, into your loved ones, to your circumstances. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your power in the air. Lord, to every heart,
Lord, that is open and needs it. Lord, we send that word of life to accomplish all that is your will. Your word will not return unto you void. It will prosper. That word you said, I will accomplish your will. Let it prosper where it is needed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we come to the end of our service this evening. It's been a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. We want to thank God for the visitation here today and also for the covering of fathers, without which their covering and their prayers, all this wonderful time we had, this glorious time, actually, in the presence of God tonight, today has been made possible. So we return all the glory to God and give thanks to God for our fathers. We're going to be closing now, so let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we are so grateful for your great mercies upon us in this service today. What a privilege, Lord God, to know you and to, Lord, hear, Lord God, from heaven through the, Lord, covering of our fathers upon the house this day. We say thank you. We are so grateful to you, Lord. We take this, Lord God, as a great privilege and a great honor indeed. For it is not everywhere you choose to manifest yourself such way. We thank you so much for the covering of the fathers. We'll continue to declare that under the covering of our fathers and under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who have joined with us here today and also in diaspora through electronic means, we declare and say, may the Lord bless and keep all of us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord our God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail, so that we are above only and not beneath, and so we prosper in everything we set our hands upon to do, and we are at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in Jesus' name. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death, so we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Yes, the Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ, and the imminent manifestation of the glory of the Spirit without measure in Jesus' name. And so the Lord anoints us afresh with the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, of John, and of the fullness of Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. The grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor, say it is well with you in Jesus' name. No bones are broken. And we will get to the other side in Jesus' name. Amen. God